Hello, hello. Good morning. I am Sanjay Gupta. I work and I study in the Department of Renewable Resources, University of Alberta. This is not the result of a research project, but this is a project proposal, and I want to present it to you guys. I want to talk about watershed, micro watershed, and this is the proposal to create an atlas of micro watersheds in Canada. Why? Let me first define the watershed. Watershed is a hydrological unit that has got natural boundaries. It has got one water outlet, and that is natural drainage. This is the basic concept, and it can be very large like basins and catchment, and it can be very small like sub-watershed, micro-watershed. My focus is micro-watershed. This is not a new concept, but this needs new attention in context of Canada, because earlier people used to think it is a unit for soil and water conservation in mountainous areas. But nowadays, the concept has changed a bit. Now, micro watershed is a sensitive, natural, functional unit where social, environmental, and economical parameters interact. And it is in this context I want to propose a new thing for Canada. Of course, Canada, as you know, it's a very big country. The provinces are like countries within country. Some of our lakes are like oceans. The land holding is in thousands of hectares, and the people are really with big hearts. But to all these biggies, I want to propose a micro concept. First of all, what is the need? Why I want to do that? And for that, I want to cite these three incidents that forced me, that made me realize that, yes, we do have a need. I met a farmer a couple of months ago. I listened to a Chinese scholar, and I read a few reports on watershed management in Canada. The farmer I met, he has got 7,000 hectares as his land holding. He spent $70,000 to get a zonal map of his land. And he was so enthusiastic that now he can work wonders in his field. He will change his cropping pattern and this and that. He was such a happy man to get that map for $70,000. And then I met this Chinese scholar who was talking in the University of Alberta about a reclamation plan to be initiated in the Yellow River catchment. That's a very big river in China. And the experimental unit he chose was a small watershed. And then, of course, some literature I studied. And all these things told me that the watersheds are really, really big in Canada. They cannot be used as a unit for proper appraisal, evaluation, monitoring, and management. Because watershed, it passes through many ecozones, ecodistricts, and in reality on the ground, the things change at a very short interval, and heterogeneity creeps in. So it cannot be used as a unit for soil and water conservation or renewable resource management in Canada. Government of Canada has done really well before. We have got maps and maps of all kinds, watershed map, drainage basin map, ecozones map, but our farmer is still hungry for more information. He still needs something more out of these things, and it's not available to him. And the Chinese example, that scholar's talk told me that the micro watershed is really a very good unit to work upon. It's neither too big nor too small. It's natural and it's workable, it's manageable, and the results are comparable. So that is the ideal unit for renewable resource management. And of course, in Canada, people have worked on micro watershed basis before, but there are examples far and wide. And I have some experience in India where I was part of the team which created MicroWatershed Atlas in India. So all these things told me that, yes, we have a need in Canada for this kind of thing. How is it going to work? This is a small example. Means this guy, he is ill today. He has got fever, pain, and some sensation is in teeth. He goes to his family doctor. Doctor sends him to dentist. Dentist examines him, takes some x-rays, and prescribes some medicine. The guy buys the medicine, eats it, and after few hours or few minutes, he is ready to go. People call it specialization, the dentist. I call it micromanagement, a very focused and site-specific approach. If we take this whole body as a watershed, different parts as micro watershed and the organs as micro watershed, and if any organ is not working properly, the whole body is sick. So that's the same analogy, that we need to focus our attention on each and every micro watershed, and once it is good, the whole body will be good. Like people say, take care of your minutes and hours will be taken care of. It's the same thing. The methodology is, I want to create a network of micro watershed. I want to divide the whole country into regions, basins, catchments, sub-catchments, watersheds, sub-watersheds, and finally micro watersheds. And I would like to give a unique identification number to each micro watershed following this hierarchical codification system, and of course would like to integrate it with land use framework so that its maximum benefit can be we can have. And the same approach has been used in India. The drainage map is on the left side. It has been used for creation of regions. Regions were further subdivided into basins, basins into catchments, catchments into subcatchments, subcatchments into watershed, and then I want to go further, sub-watershed and then micro-watershed. If you are from India, you can identify this map. This is a 2 by 2 mile aerial photograph that is available in public domain to everybody, free of cost. And there are soil boundaries are overlaid on this map. This is very good. It means public domain, free for all. Anybody can access it anytime. But if you look at this map, you cannot make out of the sense of landscape from this map. And I want to provide that sense to everybody, whether he's a farmer, a research scholar, or government official, whoever it is, consultants. What I want to do is, I want to overlay this watershed concept on this one. These are the drainage lines, divided into sub-watersheds. These are the soil boundaries on it. And then, finally, this micro-watershed. Once you look at this thing on this context, then you can find that this micro watershed has got boundaries. There will be a slope. There will be a movement of water from higher side to the lower side. And you can have better perception of moisture, nutrient movement, and things like that. And then you can use it for your further. So, what are the benefits of this approach? Change in farmer's perception. See, farmer till today, as I showed you before, he doesn't have a perception of landscape, undulation in his field. But once it is done, he will be able to better manage his nutrient management plan, his moisture management, and that will be very good for him. Like as I told you before, that guy spent $70,000 for a for zonal map. So that will help him find the answer for his problems. And moreover, once this concept is in his mind, he will be able to change his cropping pattern as per the market demand quickly. And moreover, he will work in harmony with his neighbor, because now he knows there is a boundary, it can affect his neighbor as well. So he will be careful about that thing. Government's working, when every land-related department in the government have this common platform as a micro-watershed, So I suppose that there will be a better communication, understanding, coordination among the departments. They will be at a common platform, and that will help him, the government, prioritize the things, take care of the duplication of work, and it will save money in administration. Industry guys, the industry works at a very small piece of land, but their effect, their effluents, whether it's soil, air or water, it's widespread. So once we give this perception, they will be ready to pay for the environmental services readily and in a better mood. Public participation will definitely increase when once the boundaries are known and they are nearer to the home. Everybody would like to go and participate. And a happy common man, when government is efficient, the taxes are low, average man on the street will be definitely happy. And this approach is being used all over the world, whether it's USA, South America, Asia, Africa, and even World Bank and FAO. They support all the projects that has got this kind of approach in there. So this is all. When we have a need, we have a solution, we have case studies, precedents and benefits. So why we should not do it in Canada and manage our resources well? Thank you very much. No, means I have done it before, and if you give me some people, some assistance, I can do it. That's what your question is?
Well, I'm just saying there are teams of people in most provinces who are doing this kind of work. So.
But it's not as a homogeneous effect all over the Canada, mm-hmm. Right? For a country, it should be one platform. Means, as I mentioned before, there are examples here and there for best management practices and all other things people have done before and might be doing it. But the whole country should be under one umbrella. That's the then it will be better benefits. Then this approach will be more useful for the whole country. It's all the drainage map. You have this drainage map, and you have a table and pencil, and you can do that.
My question is the more important aspect defining the micro watersheds or defining the connectivity? I'm thinking the example of the Prairie Pothole region, where you've got large areas that really aren't, they drain from a basin and then evaporate.
All right.
So how do you differentiate those, and how do you bring the whole connectivity into your atlas?
See, in a country like India, we have very good drainage network. It is one thing. In Canada, the situations are different. But these things are not hindrance. They are little challenges, but we can find answer for all these challenges. It's not difficult. And watershed means, okay, drainage is one aspect of it. Another means we can devise some ways to delineate these areas as well. Because water is to move. It follows certain pattern in the landscape. And accordingly we can use this thing.
All right, thank you.
Thank you much.